Welcome to the NCCF Teaching Podcast. We trust you find this encouraging. New Covenant Christian Fellowship is located at 205 North Pine Street in Woodland Park, Colorado. Our phone number is 719-687-6061. Our Sunday gathering is at 10 a.m. We trust you are blessed as you pore over God's Word with us.
Oh, the seas lift up.
I'm just back from a week away in Ohio where I went to a training seminar. I'm in a certificate program. It's on the downhill slide. I'm about finished up here. This last week intensive was my last big hurdle. It wasn't really a hurdle. I mean, it was awesome. Like, it was just great. It was fantastic to go there to a ministry that purpose is to raise up caregivers to provide opportunities for people to experience healing and wholeness as they encounter the living Jesus. And so it's called formational prayer, and there's all sorts of stuff connected to that, and I won't go into a bunch of details other than to say that while it was a lot of information, about half the time I was actually in a cohort of a small group, and that time was split. And I was either a caregiver practicing or a care receiver getting mashed on by the Holy Spirit. I love it. It's like, okay, so this phrase, wounded healer, really resonates with me because that's what I feel like, you know. And I won't tell on myself too much today, but I will say that, you know, we're all a work in progress, right? And some things opened up for me in my story and in my journey with Jesus that I really didn't see coming, and it's deep waters. And so I feel a little bit like I've got some emotional vertigo going on. And I'm glad I have people in my life that are kind of like the rails that can hold me up sometimes, you know. And I think that's what community does for us. It's like when you go bowling, And you finally humble yourself enough to go ahead and put those rails up. So you stop putting the ball in the gutter so many times. And you have a good chance of actually getting some numbers on the board. So communities like that, right? Helps us. We can wobble, and we do. But it keeps us out of the gutter. Okay, I just said that. Maybe literally, I don't know. But I know that for me, it's helpful. And I'll talk a little bit about that. Because one of the things that I found interesting is I've been in this program for a couple of years. And so you start to go to these intensives, you start to go to these seminars, and you start to see the same people who are also on the same track with you. And then you have this little community that's formed up over there, right? And so we go out for meals, and we're hanging out and all that. And there was this one question that was posed at a meal, and I want to just bring it to us, and I'm going to spend the next 10, 15 minutes unpacking the answer from my heart. So the question was, Chris, how do you cultivate healthy community? They know I'm a pastor. They know that that I've been at this fellowship. You know, they know my story. They know that I've been here in a pastoral role for like 23 years now, just about. And so that's the question, because what I'm discovering is that these people are from all over the United States, and they're starving for community. They're intentionally leaning in, wanting God to equip them, wanting to be used by God, and yet they find that there's this deficit in their life that is just crying out for, like, how do you find community? It struck me, because what we were experiencing for that week was fun, but for them, that was kind of the epicenter of their community. You have to travel halfway across the United States to be with people who speak your language, who get you, who can see you, who can speak into your life and story in a way that's authentic, where you feel safe to be vulnerable. And I just couldn't help myself. I kind of had to brag on the fact that, okay, not brag. Brag's not the right word. But I had to be, like, okay with saying, I experienced that. And we've experienced that as a community for some time. But it's not been easy to cultivate that. It's not been easy to choose it. It's an ongoing choice that we make. And so the question was, how do you cultivate healthy community? And I couldn't help but just, in my mind, just go back to Acts 2. I had to come to the Scripture, because if I don't come to the Scripture and if I'm just pursuing community as though that's like the center of the bullseye, then I'm going to miss the mark. Because community is the byproduct. The center of the bullseye is love. The center of the bullseye is love. And what we get to experience as a fellowship of believers is something that we can call community. And it's a common union that is born and sustained. It is directed and really governed, I'll use that word, by the Spirit of Christ. Because if we're a kingdom people and Jesus is the King of our lives, then as kingdom people, His Spirit unites us. So that's more the center of the bullseye, right? But I had a few things to share, you know, like Acts 2:42 is where my head went. And so I'm just going to read it for you. You can turn there if you'd like. But Acts 2:42, all the brothers and sisters, all the believers, I guess it says, devoted themselves, that word's important, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. So there were these four primary like focal points of their time and life together, and that was devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to shared meals, which could be also the Lord's Supper or communion, or the more accurate definition of that word would be common, the common union in Christ, so centering around the person of Jesus, and in prayer. So they had a supernatural worldview. They prayed for each other. They understood that, you know, a lot of great things can happen when we engage ourselves in the place of prayer, trusting in the grace gifts of God that flow through our lives towards each other. And they had these shared meals. They had times together. How many of you know that fellowship, like hanging out, is one thing, but you start introducing food to the mix, and it just goes to a different place. Like, you guys are having a barbecue, right? Good on you. Your kids are excited about that, right? Your kids are excited about that. They shared it in the kids' moment. We're having a barbecue today, right? What is it about that? And then the apostles' teaching, which is really, you know, that's kind of a big question. Like, what does the apostles teach? What do they teach on? Well, obviously we have the epistles and we have the teachings of Paul and, you know, the other writers of the epistles. And all of that orients around a kingdom IQ. The kingdom of God was the apostles' teachings. I mean, when Jesus rose from the dead, he started a 40-day conference. What did Jack Taylor say, you know, last week? For those of you who were here last week with Jack Taylor, how many of you, like, just got blessed? I mean, that guy is just amazing. Love that dude. He's my spiritual papa. For those of you who weren't here, I'm sorry you missed that. I hope you were having more fun, but I doubt it. It was so good. And we're going to have that podcast up here in this week. And so, anyway, that being said, the kingdom of God is central. And so, you know, just as a pause here for a second, this is being lived out here. And more specifically, George and Lynn, it's being lived out on Friday nights at your place. You call it Friday Night Lights, which I think you took from like that television show, right? With the football and all. But I like it because it's like, okay, we're meeting in the evenings on Friday night. We're going to have a shared meal together. We're going to circle around the kingdom. We're going to have some worship. We're going to get to know each other. We're going to enter into each other's lives. We're going to pray for each other. That happens at your place every Friday. for years now. And by the way, it's like open. Like you guys can go. If you're craving something like that, okay, George and Lynn, stand up. I want everyone, okay, I saw Lynn at the DMV. Of all the places you want to see Lynn brighten up your day, it's the DMV. Stand up. Turn around. I know what you look like. Okay. If you are interested at all, and thank you guys. Lynn, you can keep standing because you're just cute. I just like looking at you. You're cute. I've known you guys for 23 years, 22 years. Steady on. Through thick and thin. Hey, what happened right before the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to shared meals, and to prayer? They got filled with the Holy Spirit. And about 3,000 of them got saved once Peter stood up and he declared the truth of who Jesus is. And when he was preaching, someone interrupted him and says, "What must we do?" And he says, "Repent, be baptized, and the Holy Spirit will fill you up." These were Spirit-filled, Spirit-led, Spirit-directed, and Spirit-governed believers who were in community. So my answer to my friends around the meal in Ohio when they asked me, "What do you do to cultivate community, healthy community?" I had two things for them. One was, understand, just like Dietrich Bonhoeffer would say, that there is a difference between a spiritual community and a Christian community. Because a Christian community can be devoid of spirit and have a lot of soul energy trying to create something that's more like a bounded set where you're either in or you're out. But in the kingdom, you're in because your focal point is Jesus, and he's the one who brings unity between you. And so, as Dietrich Bonhoeffer would say, the spiritual community is a community of people who understand that the Spirit of the living Christ stands between you and anyone else. And his life and his spirit and his leading and his direction is going to be the very thing that's going to sustain you in your unity. And your job is to not create unity, but to preserve what he has already given you in the way of unity, common union, community. So that's number one. And I wasn't quite as animated as I am right now. Because we were at the hamburger joint. But you know what I mean. I got like passionate because they can see it. The reason why the question even was posed. Again, they're starving for it. So that was the one thing. The other thing that I wanted to bring up. And I don't want to get all deep into the technical aspects of this, bearing the time that we have, and this may carry over into next week. But in light of the fact that I was in a seminar that is probably equal parts spiritual and psychology and just caregiving and therapeutic of sorts, there is a dynamic that each one of us, we carry with us. And we need to allow ourselves to be ministered to by the very presence of Jesus in very real ways, so that our attachment styles as human beings grows and matures into a more secure attachment style. I'll pretty much leave it at that, other than to say that there's other styles that are not secure. There's some styles of attachment that are more like ambivalent. There's some styles of attachment that are more avoidant. There's some styles of attachment, relational attachment, people to people, that are actually very disorganized. And that's actually a term that's used because maybe someone who was raised up by a broken mom and dad, or maybe only one of them, did not form secure attachment. Even as a child, like from like the age of newborn to about 3 years old, There's a part of your brain that is being formed. It's not even online until you're about 3 years old when you begin to speak. And that is the part of your brain that teaches you how to soothe or be soothed whenever there is a disruption in your life. And if you did not have a securely attached human being caring for you in that stage of life, you, like me, probably have a disorder in the form of attachment that you relate to other people in. However, the good news is there is what's known as earned secure attachment that can happen at any age of your life. It doesn't matter how old you are. If you have a dysfunctional like sense of attachment, that can be healed and restored. And that's why things like worshiping together in this context, where our focal point is on Jesus, that's why your times of quietness with Him, where you're kind of positioning yourself to receive from Him, where you're being essentially reparented by Father God, you can form secure attachments. The thing I'm getting to here, bottom line is, it's a question to you and to me. What are we doing to cultivate secure attachments with God? What are we doing? If we're going to have a healthy community that's going to continue to grow, what are each one of us as individuals doing to form secure attachments with God the Father, God the Son, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity? Because I'll tell you this, it's to the degree that each part, each one of us, would be pursuing that type of intimate connection with the Trinity. It's to that degree that this community will be healthier. You get it? All right, so that was it. Those two things. Realize it's the Holy Spirit between us that brings unity. Our work is to preserve that unity, keep short accounts, walk in forgiveness, do the work of, you know, communicating clearly, show up when you promise you're going to show up, be willing to initiate some things. And there's more that I can talk about here, and I will next week. But I will just say this. Listen, we are so blessed as a fellowship. I'm just going to say it. And I would say that the thing that I want to point to is the grace of the Lord Jesus to create for us a safe place. It really is. And I want to praise Him for that. And I want to acknowledge the fact that some of us, we've experienced some of our deepest wounds in community. And others of us, when the guardrails are up and we're bumping along, we have the potential of experiencing some of our deepest healing in community as well. All right? So with that, why don't we stand together as a community? I want to just say this about little kids. There's a reason why a little kid like Axel stares you in the eyes. Daddy, mama. The right hemisphere of his brain is not integrated with the left hemisphere of his brain. Just the facts. And they've done some really great work. Like if they set up like some ways of reading your brain, mom, and ways of reading his brain, when he looks you in the eye, whatever your brain waves are doing, his brain waves start to do. Actually, what happens, mom, is your eyes dilate and they tear up just a little bit. Not really tearing like you feel in the emotional thing, but your eyes actually have more of a glisten. And for a child, because of their focal range, what a child sees is your eyes lighting up. And they fixate on the light in your eyes. So you got a sparkle in your eye for that kid, and then that kid fixates their eyes on you, and then this neural mirroring that starts to happen, guess what? We get to do that. That's why the scripture tells us, fix your eyes on Jesus. He's reparenting us. He's helping us. He's soothing us. We have the mind of Christ. He's given us the capacity to reorient our thinking. And so let's do that right now. Let's fix our eyes on Jesus. Jesus, thank you for your goodness and how you have fixed your eyes on each of us, your children. And so when we see you, we see the Father, and you quiet our orphan hearts, and you quiet all the ways that we have developed patterns of thinking that are fearful and avoidant and not quite sure. And you bring security to us. And that's all about the peace that you bring. The wholeness, the shalom. And so Jesus, as we even allow you to explore our own place in this community, and our own place in the broader community of the people that you've put in our hearts, Lord, I pray that it would be born out of a place of security that we find in you first. And I pray that we would trust your Holy Spirit to lead us and to bring us into a deeper expression of community through authenticity and vulnerability even. And I pray that you would continue to preserve the safety that we find here in this place and in the relationships that we have with our dear friends. And so I bless you, friends. I bless you as a community. I bless you to experience what your heart is craving for. And I bless you to find every good thing that comes from Jesus in very practical ways. And I pray this in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Well, God bless all of you. And don't forget to hug some people, because that's also really healthy for us.
It's our joy to offer these podcasts. We sure hope you enjoyed it. If you have any questions, any prayer requests, if you're curious about ways that you can more deeply be involved with this community, please drop us a line at nccfcolorado@me.com or like our Facebook page. Thank you and God bless.